Still having computer problems, so when we get down on the floor again this morning. In fact, I might ought to move over here a little bit, because I'm going to have to turn around and look at the screen quite a bit this morning. My monitor is completely out now on my laptop, so it's hard to work on a computer when you can't see what it's doing. So I've been having to do all this on another computer or use a different monitor. And we'll see how it works out this morning. I'm going to be talking about something, if you've looked at the bulletin, it's not very pleasant. I'm not looking forward to the lesson this morning. That doesn't happen very often. I'm usually excited, I'm encouraged, and I can't wait to talk about the things that I have planned to discuss. But this morning, that's not the case. I'm talking about something that is very, very sad. Very sad indeed. The title of the lesson, Abortion, A Nation Polluted with Blood. In the book of Psalms, 106, verse 38, David is describing the sins of the people of Israel. And he talks about how the innocent shed blood of the innocent, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. We live in a country where our sons and daughters are being sacrificed to the idols of selfishness, greed, pleasure, entertainment, all kinds of selfish reasons, and we'll talk about some of those this morning. But we live in a country where our soil has been polluted with millions of innocent lives. In 1973, January 22nd, in fact, this past Friday was the 37th anniversary of the infamous Roe v. Wade decision. Alias Jane Roe was used for Norma McCorvey. In fact, on the left of the screen there, you can see a book that was co-written by Norma McCorvey. The book in which she said, "I was wrong." She has denounced her views on abortion, and she has recanted. She hates abortion. But at the time, She took to court and fought for the right of women to have abortions. And this took place in Texas originally, and eventually made it up to the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court decided in 1973, on January 22nd, that McCorvey's position was right according to the Constitution, granting thus women the right to have abortions. The court's decision in this case was based on the Ninth Amendment, which states the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And they understood that as to say that our individual rights, personal rights, we have certain privacies there. And that's true, but how far do they extend would be the question. Now, they determined that these rights extended all the way to being able to terminate the life of your baby. The Supreme Court ruled that women, in consultation with their physician, had the constitutionally protected right to have an abortion in the early stages of pregnancy, that is, before viability, free from government interference. That's what the Supreme Court ruled. In 1992, the court reaffirmed the right to abortion. Now, in that case, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, what they did was they actually restricted abortion more, which did not make the pro-abortion crowd happy, but they did it anyway. In fact, you know, if you think about it, from the mid-1990s all the way up till the last couple of years, and 2008 when we had our presidential election. On the Supreme Court, we had there was one more seat that if it would have flipped from the liberal to the conservative viewpoint, the possibility for Roe v. Wade to be overturned was very real. It could have happened. But with the election of President Obama, that opportunity went away, and now there has been a judge, there has been a replacement, there has been a turnover, but a liberal judge was replaced with another liberal judge. And so it appears that Roe v. Wade will stand for a while, a long time yet. But anyway, 35 states today, 35 states currently enforce parental consent or notification laws for minors seeking abortion. There are restrictions out there. Congress has barred the use of the federal Medicaid funds to pay for abortions except when the woman's life would be endangered. However, 17 states use public funds to help support and pay for abortions. Some of those states do so voluntarily, four of them. But there are others who only do it under court order because they have to by federal court. Only about 13% of all abortions in the United States are paid for with public funds. 20 states have laws that could be used to restrict the legal status of abortion. 4 states have laws that automatically ban abortion if Roe v. Wade were overturned. 13 states retain their unenforced pre-Roe abortion bans. They have the law there. It's still there. They just don't enforce it. And 7 states have laws that express their intent to restrict the right to legal abortion to the maximum extent permitted by the U.S. Supreme Court in the absence of Roe. Abortion is one of the most common medically performed procedures in the United States. There are approximately a little bit more than 1.3 million abortions performed every year in the United States. In the United States, there are 2 states, New York and California. That doesn't show up too well. But up here in the upper right-hand corner, 38 out of every 1,000 women between the ages of 15 to 44 have had an abortion. In California, 31 out of every 1,000 women have had an abortion in the ages of 15 to 44. Since 1973, January 22nd, 1973, 50,794,089 innocent babies have been brutally, inhumanely slaughtered. 50,794,089. Kind of hard to get our mind wrapped around that number. Friend, that is more than the population of all the states listed there on the screen combined. Kentucky, Oregon, Oklahoma, Connecticut, Iowa, Mississippi, Arkansas, Kansas, Utah, Nevada, New Mexico, West Virginia, Nebraska, Idaho, Maine, New Hampshire, Hawaii, Rhode Island, Montana, Delaware, South Dakota, Alaska, North Dakota, Vermont, and Wyoming. You can take the population of all those states. Doesn't add up to 50 million. When you look at the leading causes of death, heart disease is the leading cause. In 2006, 631,636 people died from heart disease. And in fact, if you add all these up, all these leading causes, you get 1.86 million per year. If you were to just take out influenza and pneumonia, that's the fourth from the bottom. If you were to just take that out, then that would be less than 1.37 million. If you were to see abortion in that cause of death, it would be more than double per year. 1.37 million per year, heart disease, 631,636 per year. More than double the leading cause of death in the United States. If you were to add up the total of every soldier who has died for the cause of this country, total, you go all the way back to the Revolutionary War. And I don't know that I can't even read that. I think it's 25,000 people lost their lives in that war. But you add all that up, and you don't get but 1,314,000 Americans. 1,314,000. Friends, that's less. That is less than the amount of, or the number of infants, babies murdered every year in this country. It's amazing. Adolf Hitler murdered 6 million people. We call him mad. We call him evil. We call him sick. But what have we done? What have we done? When you look at the world, America's not the only country, of course. Approximately 42 million babies per year are aborted, approximately 115,000 per day. That's staggering. Have I got your attention? Let me give you some good news. I went back. I preached on this subject or discussed this, I think it was 5 years ago. And at that time, the abortion rates were more than what they are today. It's interesting the number of abortions that has gone down since 1996, although there are many states that fail to report their numbers as they should, including California and New Hampshire and Oklahoma, Alaska. Some other states don't do a very good job of getting the numbers in there. But from all indications, the number of abortions are going down. Well, that's good news. Real good news. And maybe teaching and maybe people standing up for what's right is beginning to affect a lot of people. In fact, May 7th through 10th of this year, of last year rather, 2009, respect to the pro-abortion or the abortion issue, people were asked this question: would you consider yourself to be pro-choice or pro-life? And 51% now consider themselves pro-life. Things have changed a little bit. Because just a couple of years ago, those numbers were flipped. When you look at different positions, and by the way, when you say pro-choice or pro-life, that is kind of making it narrower than a lot of people want it to be. A lot of people say, I'm pro-life, but I'm also pro-choice. Bill Clinton, in fact, in 1994, said that I am not pro-abortion, but I am pro-choice. And they equivocate on that. They try to make a distinction there, but they try to rationalize it like this. You know, I am against abortion per se, but I don't think the government has the right to say you can't have one. Well, there may be some things that would fall into that category where we could do that, where we could have our opinion and say, well, the government doesn't have the right to do this or that. But when it comes to murdering babies, don't you think the government has a right to say something about it? It does when the children are outside the womb. The government has the right to tell a parent, you can't murder your child. It has the right to tell a parent, you can't throw it in a dumpster or flush it down a toilet. They'll lock you up for that. But if you do it while it's inside your body, the government doesn't have a right to say anything about it. Now, that's their view of it. Anyway, combined position on the legality of abortion. When it comes to being legal under any circumstances, in 2008, for example, 2008, 28% believe that it was legal, should be legal under any circumstance. 17% said under no circumstance. In May of 2009, the numbers shifted. 22% said legal under any circumstance. 23% said illegal in all circumstances. It appears that the numbers may be going in the right direction. And there are several methods of abortion that take place today. If you'd like the information on all of that, I've got it. You can look it up on the internet. They're all inhumane. Whether it's salt poisoning, or whether it's cutting up the infant with scissors inside the mother's womb and pulling them out one piece at a time, or sticking a needle in their skull and sucking out all the brain. Any of it. It's all inhumane. It's all pathetic. Who is having abortions? And we are going to get to some more Bible here in a little bit. We're going to get to a lot of it. But I just want to throw some of this out here for you. What age? Well, the majority of abortions take place in the 20 to 24 age range. 32%, 32.3% of all abortions take place between the ages for women between the ages of 20 and 24. We're talking about college-age students. We're talking about people who are just beginning their career. And so that is the largest age group. Now, 15 to 19, 19.2%, 25 to 29, 22.4%, 30 to 34, 14.2%, and then it goes down from there. 35 to 39, 8%, and over 42.4%. What about race? According to race, white women, 37.8%. Black women, 33.9%. Other, 5.3%. It doesn't really matter what race is. It's wrong. It's bad, either way. Marriage status, 64.4% of women who get abortions have never been married. In other words, fornication is usually at the root of it all. Sin, to begin with. What about religious affiliation? Protestants lead the way with 37.4%. Those who claim to be members of Protestant denominations, that's Baptists and Presbyterians and Methodists, etc. Catholics, 31.3%. Jewish, 1.3%. Wow. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that those who claim to be associated with the Catholic Church or with the Protestant denominationalism, that both of their numbers are more than those who have no religion at all? Those who have no religious affiliation, none, 23.7%. Evangelicals, 18%. What about income status? Well, certainly income has something to do with this. Women become pregnant. They don't have any money. They don't want to raise their child in this certain situation, so they feel their best option is to get an abortion or murder their baby. Less than 15,000 a year, 28.7%. But notice the largest number is between the income of $30,000 and $59,000 or $60,000 a year. People who have the money to raise a child. Reasons. 6% give health as a reason, whether it be the health of the child or the health of the mother. And by the way, it's 3% for both of those. And then you have social reasons. 1%. Now that's the one where everybody, they want to fight. Like, if you do away with abortion, then what about those who are victims of rape and incest? What about that? Friend, less than 1% of all abortions are due to that. 93% due to social reasons. In fact, there's a list of several of them. Having a baby could change my life. 16% said that's why they wanted an abortion. I can't afford a baby now. 21% said that. Relationship problems. They don't want to be single parents, 12%. Not ready for responsibilities, 21%. Not mature enough, 11%. To keep sexual activity secrets, only 1%, by the way. Doesn't want more children, 8%. Husband or partner wants it, 1%. Fetus has possible health problems, 3%. Woman has health problems, 3%. Parent wants it, less or greater than 1%. Victim of rape or incest, 1%, other 3%. So the leading causes, if you go back up, can't afford a baby now, not ready for the responsibility. Those are the top two reasons. And again, 81% are associated with fornication. What does the Bible say? First of all, let's answer a question from the Scripture. Where does life come from? In fact, one of the biggest debated points on this whole issue is when does life begin? Not that I agree with him very often. I don't even listen to him very often, but I heard him say this several years ago. Rush Limbaugh was talking about this, and he said, if life doesn't begin at conception, then when does it begin? Where else could it begin? If life doesn't begin at conception, then when can it begin? In Psalms 139, verse 13, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb, I will praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Friend, listen. You didn't just happen. You wasn't an accident. You weren't a bunch of cells that just clumped together and began to form into you. Now, there was something else involved in this. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Now, that's God's work. In verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. When I was made, there's conception. The beginning of conception, and as God continued to put people together through His law. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none. Where does life come from? Who is behind all life? Who is the giver of life? Who is the one who forms us in our mother's womb? In Isaiah 44 and verse 2, thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you? Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. In Isaiah 44 and verse 24, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and He who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. Who formed you from your mother's womb? In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. In Job 31 and verse 15, did not He who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same One fashion us in the womb? Job 10 and verse 18, why then have you brought me out of the womb? Oh, that I had perished and no eye had seen me. The Lord brings us out. The Lord had, from the beginning of conception all the way through the process, the Lord is involved in that. In Psalms 127 and verse 3, the psalmist speaks of the wonderful gift of life that children are and should be viewed as by parents and by the world. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Isn't that the attitude we ought to have? We look at our children when they're born. Most people, you know, they look at this and they think, what a wonderful thing. And I know that there are circumstances and I know that there are situations where it's not convenient. And I know there are situations where, in fact, it's a bad situation. But we're talking about a human life, a beautiful human life. The reward from God. How should we view it? In the book of Exodus, chapter 21, verses 22 and 23, there was a law of Moses. If men fight and hurt a woman with child, so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life. Now, you know, it's interesting. It's not that we're under the law of Moses, and I'm trying to enforce this law for our time. That's not the point I'm trying to make. The point is, life for life. That baby was in the womb. That baby was, by God, a life. And if that baby is harmed, if that baby loses its life in the womb because a man is fighting and hurts the woman to cause that death, God says his life shall be required. Life for life. How does God view the baby in the womb? Life for life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the passage that was read, but know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Paul is talking about the way that people will begin to behave in the days ahead. In the last days, perilous times will come. And the reason why is because men will be lovers of themselves. I want to tell you right now, that is the root cause for all abortion. Men are lovers of themselves. They're selfish. That baby is going to interfere with my career. That baby is going to interfere with my education. That baby is going to interfere with my life. And I don't want it. So, because of them being lovers of themselves, they murder their child. Or lovers of money. I was doing some reading and research this past week on this, and there was an abortion doctor. Well, an owner of abortion clinics. He owned 11 abortion clinics throughout the nation. And he sold them all. He got out of it and he was converted. According to him, he believed in Jesus Christ and he denounced all of that. And he's repented of that. And in an interview, he was asked several questions about what it was really all about. What are the abortion clinics really motivated by? The answer is simple. Money. They want as many girls to come into their clinic as they possibly can because every girl is a dollar sign to them. That's why they don't want them to know about the future consequences that they're going to face after they think back and they realize they've murdered their little baby. They don't want them to think about all of that. They don't want to give them the options, adoption and other things. They don't want them to know all of that. All they want them to know is, it's easy. We'll just go in and we'll take that baby out. We'll terminate this pregnancy and that'll be it. They give them some things because they're required to by law. But then they don't emphasize it, and they always try to push, according to him, they always try to push the abortion as the best, easiest, quickest option because of money. unthankful. A baby, a child, should be viewed as a reward. Be thankful. But what about people who are unthankful? Unholy. I'll tell you right now, there is nothing more unholy. There are a lot of things that are unholy, but I can't think anything in my mind that would be more unholy than murdering an innocent baby. Unloving. And I know that people try to twist it around and they say, you know, what would be unloving is to bring a child into this world, this wicked, this evil world. I know people think like that. I wonder how many presidents, I wonder how many congressmen, senators, I wonder how many great inventors, I wonder how many preachers or elders or teachers of the Bible have been murdered since 1973. You think it's unloving to bring someone into the world because of the circumstances. You know, you go back and you do some research. You research the life of Abraham Lincoln, for example. Some of the greatest men in our history have been people who came out of the worst conditions imaginable. Unloving. I tell you what's unloving. Is to murder an innocent child. To deprive that child of life and opportunity. And to deprive the world. That's unloving. Without self-control. The reason why people get into situations like this is because they don't have the control that they need to abstain from sin. Abstinence is the best policy. By the way, you know, people say, well, abstinence is okay, but what we really need to teach is safe sex. Let's have safe sex. Well, listen, safe sex is not safe. And let me tell you why. Because sex outside of marriage is sin. There is no such thing as safe sin. No such thing. Self-control, abstinence, get married. Plan out your life. Be wise. Brutal. I can think of nothing more brutal. I tell you, you know, I put this on Joey's Facebook page. A video that I found. It's a little over 6 minutes long. There was a fellow who watched it and replied, I couldn't watch all of that. It's rough. These are actual videos of abortions, of aborted babies. It's sickening. It's brutal. It's gross. If you want the link, I'll send it to you. But I will warn you, it's very graphic. Brutal. Despisers of good. Despisers of good. Reject the innocence of a child. And headstrong. People are proud. You know, despisers of good, being headstrong. It's amazing how hard people fight for something so bad. Kind of like as we were talking about last Sunday night in Romans chapter 1. Verse 32. You know, people, that they approve of those things that are wicked. And it's amazing how hard people fight for those things. and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We're going to do what we want to do. Don't care about what God says about it. We're going to do what we want to do. Then, we get pregnant. Let's go have an abortion. We'll do what we want to do. We're going to have a good time. You know, abortion, besides what many people claim, abortion is indeed a means used by many as birth control. Truly sad. And by the way, that word unloving is without natural affection. Without natural affection. That same word appears in Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 32. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, without natural affection. A mother should have this natural affection for the child that is in them to protect that child. But they're so hardened by sin and selfishness, they have it murdered. In Isaiah 49 and verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. It happens. Women fail to have that natural affection. They suppress it. They reject it. In Psalms 106 and verse 37, even they sacrifice their sons and their daughters to demons, and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Israel's great sin. This is the leading cause why they were carried away into captivity. This is why they were destroyed by God. What about our great sin? Millions of sons and daughters are being sacrificed to the idols of humanism, selfishness, and greed. Our nation has become polluted with blood. How long will God withhold His judgment on us? How patient will God be? 50 million plus already in 37 years. Maybe we're starting to see the effects of the judgment of God. Maybe we're starting to see some of that. The economic difficulties, some of the tragedies that have taken place. Guilt and depression. There have been associations with all kinds of syndromes, post-war syndrome and other things that are experienced by women who have abortions. They're either going to become depressed about it, they're either going to have a guilty conscience, and hopefully they will repent and fight against this, or they'll have a seared conscience. I regret my abortion. Most by far women do. There is an alternative. There is a better way. The Evan B. Donaldson Adoption Institution tells us that the number of infants available for private adoption in the United States has been decreasing. The factors have contributed to this change are increased access to contraception, changed social attitudes about unmarried parenting, and the big one, the legalization of abortion. Between 1998 and 1995, 1.7% of children born to never married white women were placed for adoption, compared to 19.3% before 1973. That's a big difference. 1.7%, 19%. In 1970, there were 89,200 new adoptive parents. In 1975, the last year for which such data is available, that number was cut almost in half to 47,700. The reason for the decline was due to the fact that fewer U.S.-born white infants were available for adoption. Again, why? Babies which would have been adopted prior to 1973 were being aborted after 1973. And I assure you, fewer babies are available for adoption, but there are a lot of people who want to adopt. A 1998 survey found that about 2 million women aged 15 to 44 had sought to adopt a child. And compare that to in 2002, 127,407 women were adopted. There are a lot more couples out there looking to adopt than there are babies available to be adopted. Why? There is an alternative. There is an option. Not a lot better than killing a baby. Only 2 to 3% of the more than 1 million teenagers who become pregnant this year will place their child up for adoption. The majority of those will abort their baby. You know, this is a personal... You know this. This is a personal matter as far as I'm concerned. Many of you do. You know this. I can't help but think that what if I had not been born when I was born? I was born in 1964, January 25th. I was adopted in October of 1964. My mother and father came up with Tyler, Brother Leonard Tyler, and adopted me from here in Little Rock. Took me back home. What if abortion was legal then? What would have been my chances of survival? How many babies being aborted today? How many of them may grow up or would have grown up to be somebody beneficial to society? How would we ever know? Doesn't the baby have a choice? Shouldn't they have a choice? Shouldn't they have a right? The Word of God is very clear about this. And there is no doubt our nation is polluted with the blood of many innocent people. 50 million innocent babies in the last 37 years. Again, just a little over 1 million, less than 2 million people have died in service of this country. In all of the wars throughout the history of this country, 50 million babies have been murdered in the last 37 years. That's a shame. Our nation is polluted with blood. God's way, God's will in all things should be respected. No politics. This isn't a political sermon. This isn't about politics at all. It's about morality. It's about what's right. It's about what's wrong. It's about trying to teach people what's right and what's wrong. And we've done some good in that regard because the numbers are going in the right direction. We need to keep going, need to keep fighting, and need to stand up for what's right according to God. This is a spiritual, moral issue. But maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Let me just say this to you. Sin separates from God, and I don't care which sin it is, whether it's murdering a child, or murdering an adult. Whether it's stealing, lying, cheating, fornication, whatever sin it may be, all of those separate you from God. And you need to be reconciled back to Him. And that can only be done through the death, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through your submission to Jesus as Lord, you can be reconciled back to God and be forgiven of your sins. And that, it doesn't matter what sin it was. Any sin can be forgiven, even this one, if you'll come to Jesus by faith and obedience. If you'll repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, be buried with Him in baptism, you'll be raised to walk in newness of life. All of your sins, everything washed away. Start all over again. If you're here, you have that opportunity this morning to obey the gospel, to get right with God, whatever your condition may be. If you need to make something right in your life, if you're a child of God, then do that. Whatever your condition may be, if you need our help this morning, if you need our assistance, please come forward. Do so as we stand.